This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. This won't shock you, but kids who miss school don't perform as well. And it turns out that chronic absenteeism is also an early warning sign for a lot of other things, like truancy, but also poor performance and dropout down the road. And while two-thirds of states include chronic absenteeism as a metric in their school evaluation plans, North Carolina chose to leave it out. Tracy Zimmerman is the executive director of the North Carolina Early Childhood Foundation, and she joins me now. Tracy, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Tell me a little bit about give us a snapshot of absenteeism in North Carolina.
Yeah, so our report looks specifically at schools that had younger children, so kindergarten through third grade. And it's an interesting portrait. On the whole, if you look at some districts, it looks pretty good. Statewide, we have 1 in 8 children that are chronically absent. But when you dig a little deeper, you see some real trouble areas, particularly for some populations. So, for example, we have in one of our districts, half of the kids who are American Indian are chronically absent. So we have some real challenges across this state. I wouldn't say we have a great, that anyone is doing a great job at this. And it's also important to remember the data, if anything, is reported low.
Why is it reported low? I mean, isn't your child is absent or not? That's a number. You would get that and compare it to the total population and it should be easy to get.
It should be. We don't, however, as a state, have a standard definition for chronic absenteeism. And so that's part of it. And schools and districts may interpret that a bit differently. It's important to note that chronic absenteeism includes excused and unexcused absences. It includes things like suspensions, all of those things together. So basically, if you're not in school, you're chronically absent. And while, as you said, it's a no-brainer that it affects the student, it also affects students who are in school, because when the children who have been absent come back, the teacher has to provide time in helping that child get caught up. That takes away from the entire class.
Well, maybe you can help me sort this out, too. When you say chronically absent, I mean, it seems to me that there's a census every day. They take roll, and there's a number, and there's a number of kids who are absent. What does the word chronic refer to? Am I talking about the individual who is chronically absent, or a school, a district, or perhaps a building that has a very high absentee rate on a regular basis?
Right. So the data is available by student to a school, obviously. We don't have that type of data. It is aggregated at the school level. So what it means is that in a given school, let's say 10% of kids, if they're chronically absent, means by the data, by the definition used in this report, it means they've missed 15 days or more of school. Other definitions are more like 10% of school. So in North Carolina, that would be 18 days or more.
Mm-hmm. So that's part of the mismatch and part of the difficulty of putting it together. But talk about the indicators or what it is that chronic absenteeism will tell us about your future. Because as you suggest, you were looking at schools with younger populations, right? Lower grade levels.
Right. We looked at this because we're looking at it also from the perspective of third grade reading. And why third grade reading? Because we know it's such an important indicator, right, of how kids are going to do academically and, in fact, whether or not they're likely to drop out and their future career success. And we know that chronic absenteeism is a significant factor in third grade reading. There's enough research that shows kids who are chronically absent are much less likely to be reading at grade level. They're more likely to drop out. They're more likely to have substance abuse issues. And so it's why it's such an important indicator. And what's also very important about it is that it's an early warning sign, as you said. And so most of our accountability measures start with children in third grade through testing. Testing is not an appropriate measure for young children. We don't want to start and push that down. We need to look at what is it that can give us the early warning signs that can help us ensure children are on track. And chronic absenteeism is perfect for that type of measure.
Now, states just submitted plans under the Every Student Succeeds Act. That's federal legislation, and that replaced No Child Left Behind in 2015. Two-thirds of the states included chronic absenteeism as an accountability metric. North Carolina did not. Why do you think this is?
I think it's really an awareness issue. This is something that, I mean, so for example, the report where we pulled our data from, the Office of Civil Rights at the U.S. Department of Education, this was the first time they've collected that data. So it's not as if there are years of reports on this. So I think part of it is really awareness and understanding. And what ESSA did do, sorry, that's the Every Student Succeeds Act, is it did start to raise that awareness because it cited chronic absenteeism as one of the school quality measures that states could choose from. North Carolina did not do that yet, but they did include in their plan that it was something they wanted to look at and think about. And we've heard from the superintendent and the State Board of Education that this is something they want to further explore. So I think it's mostly awareness and a lack of understanding that not only is it a problem, and that it's actionable. There are, in fact, things that schools, districts, and the state, and communities and families all have a role in solving. So this is something that is actionable.
How so? What can you do?
Well, it starts with really engaging your families and communities at the school level to understand what's the driving factor. At the state level, there are lots of things in terms of, one, starting with having that standard definition, making sure that we're collecting the data. Are we promoting positive approaches rather than punitive from the state out to our districts about how to address chronic absenteeism? Are we providing the capacity building and professional development so that schools and districts know how to do that? So at every place, every level, there is a way to approach this. And there's a fantastic organization called Attendance Works that has self-assessments, both, again, at the state level. That's what we use for our report here. At the district level and at the school level, to really think, do I have the systems in place?
Well, are there systems and are there best practices that have been shown to improve attendance?
Absolutely. And again, it starts with the data. It starts also with promotion, and again, from a positive, not a punitive standpoint. I think that's a significant factor in building people's abilities to be able to understand what are the problems. So you really have to start by engaging, as I said earlier, your community. I noted to you an example of a school not in North Carolina that noted many of its children were not coming to school towards the end of the month. Well, if they had not engaged the families, they would not have found out that the reason was a lot of the kids didn't have clean clothing. And so what they wound up doing was installing washer and dryers in that school, which not only boosted attendance, it boosted many things about the school quality and environment that was welcoming to families. That's one example. There's not a custom one size actual thing for each school. You really have to understand there are health issues. So we know, for example, in North Carolina, there's a district that started looking at its suspension rates and found out that a large number of kindergartners were being suspended at the beginning of the year for an extended period of time. Why? Because their health assessments weren't turned in. And so by working with pediatricians who didn't even realize that was a requirement, to training frontline staff to ask, are these appointments for school health assessments, to bringing in mobile they were able to cut that significantly. So you really have to understand what are some of the underlying root causes, but the actions themselves do not have to be high resource actions.
Yeah, it sounds like, as you said, and I think you've said it several times, first of all, you have to know, you have to really, and the state of North Carolina does collect the data. So
correct.
Collecting, it's one thing, but then using that as a metric, saying, okay, we're going to actually focus on this. Because primarily, it seems to me the indication is what the implications are for the individual child. If I start to see this before third grade, we're headed for trouble. I've got to stem this. But ultimately, the building, because if there's a high absentee rate in that building, it means if you're going to be assessed on test scores, look out down the road. We've got an indicator here that shows by the time they get to third grade, you're going to have low results.
That's right. I mean, this to me is the early warning sign exactly for that. It should... every school should have a policy and way of dealing with this. Some schools look at this and start seeing, okay, if we start to see maybe 2 days in a row, the teacher calls home and not again from a punitive perspective, but tries to understand what's going on, creating that welcome environment where students feel safe and valued. There are lots of things that go into it.
So, and this is both for the school and for the students.
Exactly.
Are there, and so, but this is relatively new, so that those states that are now using it as a metric, there's no real indication that it's had produced better outcomes for them.
Right. So in terms of it being part of their accountability system, we'll have to see what that looks like. Some states have collected it, as I said, for a time period. OCR started asking for it, the Office of Civil Rights, in 2013 and 14. And so that was traditionally districts straight up to the feds. North Carolina has said, let's try to have some quality control and collect it at the state level as
and
well.
To be clear, it is one of many metrics. It's not the only way.
Absolutely. In looking at metrics, unfortunately, North Carolina was one of only 9 states that only included academic measures in their accountability systems for ESSA. So others did look at things not only like chronic absenteeism, they might have looked at other types of school quality measures. Because that's a key.
Well, what are they, other well-being or school quality measures that are not strictly academic?
Well, you could be looking at discipline. For example, we know that there's some real inequities in how discipline is applied. So that might be one example.
Tracy Zimmerman is the executive director of the North Carolina Early Childhood Foundation, and you can find links to her work at our website, stateofthings.org. Tracy, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Coming up on the State of Things, Big Macs, big checks, and big donations. The surprising life of Joan Kroc on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.